Shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. It's really nice out there right now. 79 degrees at the Elk City Mezzanette Center, 68% humidity. Rainfall for the last 24 hours in the Elk City area is a little over a half inch. The winds are out of the north-northeast at 19 miles an hour with gusts up to 24 currently. That was a wonderful rain for, I think everybody got some. I hope they did anyway, but according to the Mezzanette, we did. And let's check out some of the rainfall totals in the last, let's just go with the last 3 days here on the Mezzanette. Looks like down at Walters, they've got almost 5 inches. And this is the Mezzanette rainfall totals. I know some people got more, some people got less. Tipton got 3.37. I think Altus was at almost 3 inches. Hollis at 1 3/4. Shamrock got almost 2 inches, it looks like. Mangum, 1.5 inches. Hobart, 1.3 inches. I know a buddy of mine up there at Grimes, the guy with the math problems, I think he got, let me see what he told me he got. He got 2,000 1,000ths. So I'm guessing that's 2 inches. But anyway, he got 2 inches up there around Grimes. Cheyenne, almost 2 3/4. Butler, 2 3/4. And then just as you get up there towards Hollis, or not Hollis, but Roger Mills and Ellis County, and up there in parts of Dewey County, that's where that line kind of broke off in the rain. But they still got some. I mean, even Woodward got 1/4 inch. Buffalo got almost 1/2 inch. So it was a good rain overall. If you want to, you're bored, and you want to text in your rainfall amounts, text in your town and your rainfall amounts to the Ag text line at 580-225-9697 if you want to. It was good rain everywhere. Oh, already got somebody 2.6 inches of rain in Cooperton. That's coming from the major. Great rain down there. You guys were needing it. Anyway, we got that going on. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you shortly. Greg Hartman, OSU Extension educator for Beckham County, is going to be in the studio here in a little bit during the show. So let's just get on with it. Let's check out the futures on grains. Corn, September 630. December 627. March 634. Soybeans, September is 1525, November is 1427, January is 1434 a bushel. Soybean meal, September, $461.40 a ton, short ton that is. And then we got October's 42060, December's 41490 a ton. Soybean oil, September, 68.4 cents per pound. October is 66.7 cents a pound. December is 66.02 cents a pound. Hard red winter wheat, September 862, December 863. Oats, September 418 a bushel, December's 390. Let's check out some corn, cotton. October's $1.19 a pound, almost $1.20. December's $1.16. Oil is down below $90 a barrel again. It's at $89.97. Natural gas just hanging in there, though. It's at 970 MCF there, 1,000 MCF, however they do that. Anyway, that's going on there, so that's not good. That's what we get our fertilizer out of, that urea. Let's check out the cash grain prices in Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle real quick. Maybe. Come on. There we go. All right, hard red winter wheat at the elevator. Cash price today, $8.01. Corn is at 708, Milo's at 638, and soybeans are 1469. Well, let's I also got one other thing here. Let's check out some cotton deals going on here. Where are we at? There we go. Net export sales for the week ending on August 11th was 51,300 bales, and these are 480-pound bales of cotton. That brings the total 22-23 sales to about 7.7 million bales. Total sales at the same point last year in the 21-22 marketing year was at 5.5 million bales. Total new crop 23-24 sales are at 742,500 bales. Shipment for the wheat was 277,200 bales, bringing total exports to date 468,800 bales, compared with 435,000 bales comparable at the same point last year in the marketing year. Soybean futures were higher in overnight trade as dry weather lingered in some of the United States growing areas. Little or no rain has fallen in parts of central and southern Nebraska, Kansas, and much of Oklahoma in the past 7 days, according to the National Weather Service's precipitation page. Most of South Dakota and western North Dakota also have seen little rain in the past week. Still, soybean prices were capped and grains were little changed as some precipitation landed in areas that badly needed moisture. Rain fell in the past weeks in parts of western Iowa and much of Missouri, maps show. About 36% of Missouri was suffering from drought conditions as of last week. That's down 38% from a week earlier. Also weighing on corn and wheat prices is the continued shipments of grain from Ukraine ports. Exports of agriculture products from the siege country may reach as high as 4 million metric tons in August, up 33% from July, after an agreement was implemented at the start of the month to move grain out of the country. Soybean futures for November delivery, rose eight pennies to $14.12 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $7.10 a short ton to $4.0940. While soybean oil futures fell 0.05 cents to 65.65 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was unchanged at $6.23 a bushel. Wheat for December delivery was up 2¾ to $7.73 a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City futures gained 3 cents to $8.50 a bushel. Flood watches and advisories are in effect for a large swath of land stretching the length of southern Oklahoma and southern Arkansas, according to the National Weather Service. From 2 to 3 inches of rain have already fallen in this area, with another inch possible in the warned areas today. Excessive runoff may result in flooding to rivers, creeks, streams, and other low-lying flood-prone locations. Well, guess what? I think my guest has arrived, and I know one thing about the rain we got, Mr. Hartman. It soaked in.
Yes, it did, and I was really happy there on Saturday when we got that rain, that it just came about 5/10 there, kind of a slow rain, because I walked out, and it was all ponding on top of the soil. I mean, nothing was going in, and so that was really good, and that kind of soaked in. Then we got another 5/10 there, and it made that inch, and then we got all day yesterday about 7/10 in my area where I live. But certainly, again, there's some people that got more than that, some people that didn't, but we're certainly thankful that the good Lord sent us some moisture, and hopefully is at the right time. So yeah, everything's good right now.
Well, I wanted to catch my first farmer greasing up his drill today.
I've already seen some of them. They're almost ready to roll up pretty soon, if the sky will be black with diesel smoke, I'm sure.
You know, I don't, up there north of Sayre, is that some of your kinfolks that got the black eyed peas, the Hartman land up there right there on the curve?
Uh-huh.
Is that some? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was just, I drove by there 100 times, never really paid any attention. But Saturday, I was looking because I just thought it was a bad stain of cotton. It gets black eyed peas.
You know, Marvin Stewart, he out west of town on 152, he always plants some for folks to go and get some. And I've kind of been watching that. And it's struggled like most of our agriculture crops this summer. But this will certainly alleviate some stress on it and make it a lot better.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, well, it looks like before we go to break, I got a couple of texts in. 5 miles north of Sentinel. 1.5 inch, and at Sentinel, 1 inch of rain, and then Carpenter, 4 inches. They got 4 inches at Carpenter, so that's crazy. And see, 4 inches, that would be 4,000/1,000th of an inch, wouldn't it? I got some guy up there at Grimes that's got to put all these crazy numbers in there. Instead of saying I got 8/10, he's got 8/100. I mean, he must have went to math school, I think. So anyway, well, when we come back, Mr. Hartman and I will talk about some stuff they got going on with the OSU Extension office over at Beckham County, and probably some stuff with some of the other agencies, other stores, other offices around the counties, because you guys pretty much most part all got the same programs going.
We try to and try to work together, especially when we have our specialists from Stillwater, or whether they might be at Altus or Lawton come out. We try to work together with other county offices to try to make sure we can cover as many people as we can and get the most bang for the buck, instead of them coming out one time and then having to come out the next day. Right. Or we try to schedule everything on one day and try to get that done.
Cool. Well, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today, and we'll have a truck headed your way.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local HiPro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18-ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 12th. 2,069 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 275 brought 224. 9 at 446 brought 208. 16 at 522 brought 194. 11 at 590 brought 178. 10 at 652 brought 169.50. 3 head of heifers at 258 brought 540. 4 at 443 brought 170. 9 at 470 brought 162.50. 4 at 528 brought 158. 7 at 881 brought 148. Butcher cows were 35 to 9. 94 butcher bulls brought 8250 to 113. Bred cows were 700 to 1400. Pairs brought 1000 to 1660. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
77 degrees here at the Gabe Mezzanet Center in the studio, and 69% humidity, and it's showing we don't have a lot of wind here, but we're kind of right here in town. But outside, I think the winds are getting it pretty nicely. Here's some stuff on our live cattle real quick, if this thing will cooperate with me. There we go. Looks like everything's pretty steady, a little bit in the red on the live cattle, but August live cattle is 141.65, live cattle for October 144.70, December is 150.60, February 155.05, feeder cattle, August 181.65, September 184.37, lean hogs, October 94.27, December 84.37, February 87.52. Don't have any cattle reports for you today. Elk City had theirs Friday. I will tell you that I did drop in there, and one of the guys in there said they thought they had over 3,000 head in there Friday, and I honestly believe it. If that number's correct, I'll have your numbers for you tomorrow, because I was there after the show at 1:45, and there was guys still dropping off cattle. And so hopefully things calm down a little bit after the rain. I mean, you always get, you feel better after a rain.
Well, certainly, just driving in this morning, I thought the grass looked quite a bit better along the road there. And some of the Bermuda pastures, you could see maybe just a little bit better, and maybe just cleaned them off with all the dust and everything. But certainly looked a lot better. And you mentioned about those cattle. I looked over the last 6 weeks of that kind of area sales around here, and the feeder calf sales are probably up almost 11% from a year ago where they've been. So there's been more of those younger calves already hit the market. And
yes,
certainly, the price on them has been pretty good here lately. I know the killer cow market's kind of come off some, but even though it's come off some, it's still pretty good price.
Yeah, I've seen some in the low 90s.
Yeah, and there's certainly a lot of those that have got some flesh on that are, you know, mid to high 80s, and even some of those ones that you might lower percentage, you know, they're kind of in the lower 70s, and that's still pretty good for a worn out old cow.
Well, the reason why I stopped by the sale barn, because I knew, you know, it's this farmer rancher thing. Most parts, everybody brings, if they bring a trailer load to town, they're going to hang out and watch them sell. Mm-hmm. That's just the bottom line. It's just a thing. Sale barn's kind of like a Jim Rummy deal for the women at the country club. You know, they got to hang out in there. So I stopped in there. Sure enough, I found him sitting in the stands. But he sold a trailer load of a little over 400 pounders, and they all average around 1,000. And they were unweaned, so it's pretty good.
Yeah, way good.
Way good. Got in a text real quick from Foss, north of Foss, 3.1 inches.
Man, that's great, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. Thanks for texting that in. And then, well, you got a lot going on.
Yeah, we do, and I just wanted to try to bring some things that I think are very important, especially as of the rain we had here over the weekend. I know a lot of people have been dealing with nitrate toxicity in some of their forages. Some people have been dealing with prussic acid and poisoning their forages. And I don't want people to think that just because we got some rain that it's all over with.
It's not.
There's several factors in there for us to be able to come out of these pandemic situations with these poisoning in our summer forages. We need rainfall. We got that. Two, we need sunshine for photosynthesis to occur, and we haven't had a lot of that here just the last couple days. And then we need some time for that plant to kind of grow through that stage, 7 to 8 to 9 to maybe even 10 days to kind of grow through there. So I know a lot of guys have been bringing their Johnson grass in to have it sampled. We've had a lot of our summer forages, our Sudans, our millets, our giant greens, whatever it might be, any of those summer forages that they're trying to make hay out of, they brought those in, and we've seen a lot of those that have been very, very high in toxicity, whether it's prussic acid or nitrate toxicity. And so I just want to make sure that people know that we're not always through that just yet. Just because we got a rain, still need to be careful with that. And there is a difference between those two. And I want to just take a minute to talk about prussic acid. That's what we call cyanide poisoning. That's normally on the leaves. That's kind of that frosty coating, sugar coating that you might see on the leaves, and normally you see that in the upper leaves there. So that's where when you turn cattle in and they just kind of go randomly picking, they're going to maybe pick some of those leaves off, and there's where we get the problems with that. The thing about prussic acid, if you were to cut that down and run that through the swather, it breaks those cells up, and so it fumigates out in the air, it dissipates out in the air, and so it's going to dissipate away from that plant. So if you go to harvest that or bale it, you're going to be okay because it's going to dissipate out. And over time, you won't have any problems with that. It's the same premise. It doesn't allow the animal to carry oxygen through the bloodstream, and so over time it just kind of suffocates itself away, and it causes it to die because of the lack of oxygen. Now what it does is it doesn't let those metabolism of the blood cells, it doesn't let them those blood cells, it doesn't let them carry that oxygen to the cells that are going to be oxygenated, and so that animal actually suffocates, like I mentioned. Same thing with nitrate toxicity, is it suffocates the animal too, but it does it in a way where it metabolizes that bloodstream, where it changes the microorganisms in that, the characteristics of that, and it does not carry oxygen, and so that blood will become more chocolatey because it's deoxygenated, and that animal will suffocate too. Now the nitrate toxicity is more in the lower of the stalk portion of the plant, and that's where we've been checking a lot of that out. It's not so much up in the leaves, but it's going to be in the lower portion of that. So as the plant grows through there, it's pulling up nitrates, it's pulling up moisture, it's trying to grow very quickly because all these summer forages are very efficient in the way that they grow. So they're very good about translating that nitrogen to forage or green forage, and so we have to be careful about that. So we still are probably 10 days or so away if we still have optimum temperatures here and rainfall before we'll get that away. Now I've seen lots in the couple of counties around here in Custer and Washita and Beckham. We've seen some that showed up hot with our diathymine, our quick test, but when we sent it off, you know, it might not be but 500 to 1,000 or so. But we have sent some off that's 12 or 13 or 14,000, and that's certainly in the toxic area.
That's a bad. See, what is it? I looked it up because I think you sent it to me a couple of years ago. But what is it, up to 2,500 or already?
3,000 is about safe. You think that's pretty safe.
Is that for pregnant cows?
For most everything, yeah.
Okay.
And then when you break over 3,000 there, you get into the situation where you might even have a few of those late-term abortions or a lower respiration performance goes down. Certainly for dairy cattle, you wouldn't want to feed that. It needs to be less than 2,500. So up to 3,000 is safe. 3 to 5,000 where you see a little bit of a lower production. 5 to 10,000 is where you see weaker animals being born, decreased growth, decreased milk. You see some late-term abortions. Those embryos requiring more oxygenation, and we talked about earlier that the blood is deoxygenized. It doesn't have oxygen in it, and so the cow is going to slough that out because it's taking on more moisture and also more oxygenation for it to survive. And then over 10,000, that's normally when we see some death in the livestock when we get over that.
When I remember back in the 80s, we were moving cattle down a road, and my boss was out front with his pickup and honking and caking, and we was moving them down a county blacktop road, fence on both sides. And we were behind him with four-wheelers, and he said, "You guys keep them moving and don't let them stop." And we kept them moving because it was Johnson grass. It was during the summer, and one cow took one bite, and that's all it took.
Yeah, that's that prussic acid. It doesn't take very long with the cyanide poisoning because, like I said, that's on the leaves, and they'll pick that up. And as they crunch that, as I said it releases that out, just like putting it through a swather will release it out into the air.
Right.
It'll evaporate out. Same thing in that cow's mouth. It goes into her mouth, into her bloodstream, and then it gets in there, and then it just changes the way that she oxygenates herself or how that oxygen is produced or carried in the blood cells, and those cells will not let that oxygen come in to that animal, and it will not let that go to those organs. And so over a fairly quick period of time, they just suffocate and they die almost right there. Normally, if you see a cow with her head through the fence and she's dead, she's got prussic acid. Yeah. If they've died out there around the hay bales and just eating, it's normally the nitrate toxicity.
Yeah, it was almost instant.
Yeah, it doesn't take very long of that cyanide poisoning to get them.
Well, when we come back, Greg will be back in here. He's going to be here probably most of the show because he's got a stack of paperwork over there. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk some more cattle. He's got a risk management deal coming up, and we got all kinds of other stuff. And I want to see if he's found out why the gardens ain't doing very well this year. So we'll be back right after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 15th. 1,612 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 383 brought 206. 8 at 544 brought 175. 7 at 566 brought 164. 14 at 719 brought 186. 20 at 791 brought 173.50. 16 head of heifers at 269 brought 190. 4 at 390 brought 171. 10 at 477 brought 172. 5 at 606 brought 159. 29 at 749 brought 165.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 86. Six butcher bulls brought 75 to 114. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
80 degrees here at Elk City. Let's check out some area temperatures real quick. I think for the most part, everybody, there's a warm spot over there in north central Oklahoma. They're already in the upper 80s, but for the most part, the eastern Texas Panhandle and western Oklahoma looks like Woodward's a warm spot. They're at 80 degrees. Hollis, for a change, you're the cool spot, 75 degrees. Shamrock, you're at 78. Wheeler, you're at 79. So anyway, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you here after the next break. Well, Greg Hartman, OSU Extension Agent, or not agent, educator. You guys change your titles all the time. It throws me off. For Beckham County is in the studio with me, and we were talking about the acids, the prostate accident, and all kinds of stuff for the, we took a break. Now we're going to talk about wheat and cattle and all kinds of stuff. And you got it coming up.
Yeah, we've got a meeting coming up here. There's going to be several meetings this week and then even to the next week about guys that are needing to get some CEUs, continuing education units, for their private applicator's license. Those people that buy some restricted chemicals for their row crops or things like that, they've got to have so many continuing education units in the five-year period that you have your private applicator's license to get that where you can re-up and get it again without having to take a test that has to be proctored. The test is much different than it used to be. They've changed that up over the last couple of years. So, our cycle ends the December 31st of 23. So we're trying to work with lots of producers in different counties to try to provide them ample CU units. You can only get 10 per year, and we're trying to print off all that and get that from the Department of Agriculture, how many people have got. That way they can look at these meetings and see where they're at and kind of schedule and kind of get a plan together where they can make sure they get all their units that they have to have before the end of the 23 cycle comes out. So we're going to have one here at SARE on August the 24th, which is going to be this Wednesday, from 9 to 11, and that'll be a two-hour meeting, and there'll be one CU given available for that Tupper meeting. And we'll talk about wheat herbicide and production topics. Gary Strickland from down at Altus will come and visit about that. Josh Bouchon, who's from up around the Enid area, he'll talk about wheat fungicides, and there is our one-hour credit that you're going to get there, your one CU through that fungicide. Marty New, who's a livestock specialist from down at Lawton, is going to come and talk about wheat pasture. We still have the hopes about wheat pasture.
This weekend gave us a lot of hope.
And some fall nutrition, whether you're talking about stalker calves or feeder calves or you're talking about your cow-calf operation. He'll come and talk about that. And then I thought it's an awesome time to talk about some economic risk management with Trent Millick from up there in the Enid office. Certainly, guys, we've talked about early, and you've talked about in many times on this program about how people have had to go ahead and sell more cattle than they really expected to, and so they've gotten more income this year than probably what they needed or what they expected. And so certainly there'll be some ways to maybe risk manage that, either take profits over a couple of years or how to get that where they don't have to pay a bunch of extra taxes for that money that they didn't really want to make and certainly didn't expect to make because of the tragedy that we had with all the drought that we've had. So we'll talk about those. And then when we finish there, then if those producers over in Custer County, or whether you're in any other county, you can go over to Custer County Fairgrounds and from 1 to 3, we'll put on the same program over there for those producers over there. Now, I will stop right now and say, you can't come to Sayre and go to Clinton and get the same, get two, you're going to get one at each place.
But if you weren't listening at Sayre, you can go get one.
Yeah, but you're still just going to get one. So, and then also on September the 1st, that'll be on a Thursday, we're going to host one over at Washtenaw County at Cordell at the fairgrounds there. And all these will be at the fairgrounds here in Sayre, over at Clinton, and then one at Cordell. So we'll have those there, and that will be for the CUs, continuing education units, for all the people who have their private applicator's license or wanting to get these CUs where they don't have to take the test at the end of the 23 cycle.
Now, you got, did I read this report right? We have one coming up, which will be a virtual coming up later.
Yeah, and I've got that too, that, and we'll hand those at the meeting. There'll be a virtual one. I believe that's going to be like in September 7th or 8th, where we'll have a link that the guys can zoom in on. And Kevin Shelton from Stillwater is going to, and Todd Bowman, who's the weed specialist down at Ada, they're going to put on an hour, which will be one CU's about drift. We've had lots of problems with drift this year with a lot of our different crops, whether it be cotton early, whether it's been peanuts here lately, or whether it's just been some of our homeowners' trees or grapes or whatever it might be.
Tomato plants.
I've been a lot of time. I've been a lot of miles this summer looking at some drift problems with that. And so we're trying to get that under control. I don't know that it'll ever get under control until Well, I'll just stop with there. It'll never get under control.
Right.
But we just need to be better stewards of the land, better stewards of what we spray, when we spray. Be better at just reading the label. I mean, tens of thousands of dollars goes into that label. They don't put it there just for it looks
pretty.
For the
fun of it.
No, it's there for a reason, and we need to read those and be sure that we spray at the right times, the adequate times, and also use the proper amounts of those herbicides or insecticides, whatever it might be that you're spraying at the ample time.
Don't use Grandpa's recipe from 20 years ago?
Probably not. Probably not.
Yeah, because everybody's got their recipe, but, you know, we... And this drift deal has really come to a head since the marijuana has come into play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really because you call an applicator to go get something sprayed, they won't even load now until they get to the field. Well, that's just adding extra cost.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't blame them, don't get me wrong, because there's who's going to, if there is some marijuana farm and out there that gets the spray on it or gets some drift sucked through their exhaust going into their deal, you know, who's, how do you
prove that? That's right. Yeah. And we're seeing lots of that. I mean, we get lots of calls from people that feel like they got drifted on from certain people. And, you know, some of them were from aerial spraying and it went all over. And, you know, you can look on the mesonet. The mesonet will tell you what the wind drift is, the dispensation of the air, the inverting of the air. I mean, it tells you all those things, and it gives you an idea of where the wind was at, what direction, what speed it was, every 5 minutes in your area. So if you look on there, you can kind of find that out. And also, before you go to spray, look at what the wind's going to be. You know, I know it takes you some time to get chemicals loaded, you know, and I know the wind can change and it can certainly speed up during that period of time. So be very cautious about that. Think about other people around you that have got sensitive crops, and maybe to some of these herbicides that people are spraying these days. And it certainly causes a lot of hardship between landowners and neighbors because, you know, you hate to walk out there and say, hey, you sprayed my whatever it might be, and, you know, accuse somebody of something. So let's just be better stewards of that.
That's, I mean, it's pretty simple. Just be aware of your surroundings and what you're going. And like I said, with a mesonet, I mean, you got detailed information on what you want to do, because there's no use in going out there in the middle of the afternoon with a 25-mile-an-hour south wind and a 95-degree temperature. No use. Just... hang on.
You know, bad things are going to happen when that's
it's
there.
It's going. And the more bad things that happen, the more restrictions they're going to have. So anyway, just everybody do it. Like I said, read the label, check with everybody, and let them know what's going on. But anyway, well, we're going to take a early break here and come back. I'm going to do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and then we're going to finish up with Greg on some more stuff going on with the OSU Extension. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, August 16th, we sold 806 cattle, bulls, and calves. Thursday, August 18th, we sold 2,988 calves and feeders for a total of 3,794 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 80 up to 90 and a half. Then cows bring 53 to 74, with our bulls bringing 70 up to 116. We had 40 black bred heifers bringing 1550 to 1775, with our 2-day-year-old bred cows 750 to 1075, 5-day-year-old pairs 1050 to 1425. On our steer cattle, very active calf and feeder market, 3 to 350 steers, 215 to 217, 4 to 450, 191 to 216, 5 to 550, 188 to 210, with our 6 to 650 steers, 180 to 198, 7 to 750, 177 to 189.50. 8-8-50 steers, 170 up to 185.75, with our 9-9-50 steers, 171 to 175.5. 23 steers weighing 991, bring 170.50. On our heifers, 3 to 351 heifers, 188 to 192. 4 to 450, 181.5 to 185. 5 to 550, 168 to 188. 6 to 650, 166 to 178. 7 to 750, 162 to 171. 8-8-50, 156 to 164.75, with our 9-9-50 heifers, 137 to 140. And 1,050 pound heifers, 136 to 144. Extremely good market. 7 to 750 steers, top 189.50. 8 to 850, top 185 and a quarter. 9 to 950, top 175 and a half. 6 to 650 steers, top 198. With 61 yearling heifers weighing 547, bring 187.50. 1,012 ahead. 6 to 650 steers off the cows. Heifers topped 178. Even our calves off the cows, 6 to 620, topped 186. And our 5 to 550 unweaned, top 209. For this Tuesday, August 23rd, we will have 50 bred cows and pairs. We've got 40 other bred cows and pairs, more by sale time. We have the Colorado peaches on Saturday, August the 20th. They tell me they're fresh, unweaned, right off the vine. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Anybody going to Woodward that day? I could sure use about a half a box of Colorado peaches. They're good. Are they coming to Sayre?
I haven't seen anything about that they're coming. I'd like to have a few peaches too.
They come to the co-op over at Elk City every now and then. So yeah. I guess I'm going to have to get on their Facebook.
I'm going to tell you, if they come, you better get in line
early. Yeah, that one morning they opened at 8, and I was sitting in line at the co-op here in Elk City at 6 o'clock, and I'm going to tell you, I was not the first person there. It was
same
crazy
thing out here at Hutch's. They had a couple years ago. I thought I'd get in line like 30 or 40 minutes early.
Wrong.
I was not at the front of the line by any means.
No, but they're good. I think it was last year or the year before they had some frost damage, and they wasn't quite as many peaches. But anyway, Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast, 81 degrees. Heat index is 83. Humidity is 62%. The winds are out of the north northeast at 16 miles an hour with wind gust up to 22. Here's the forecast. Partly sunny, 83 today, really nice. What I like about the Long Ranger forecast, we're going to be 62 or 63 for a low every night. So that's going to give times for plants and cattle, animals, to recover from the heat at night, so which is awesome. Tomorrow, 86 degrees, sunny. Wednesday, 88. Thursday, 88. Friday's 89. And what I'm seeing, Saturday, Sunday, a couple days the following week in the Long, Long Ranger, we have more chances of rain coming, which is awesome. So anyway, get your seed wheat and your rye and all that all cleaned up, boys. It's time to get her in the ground if you want to fight armyworms and bugs. So anyway, be careful what you're doing because it's still going to be pretty warm. Well, Greg Hartman from OSU, Beckham County OSU Extension Educator. See, I got it right that time.
Good job.
Good job. But anyway, you got all kinds of things going on. What do you got going on? I see Cow-Calf Corner. That's my favorite email.
I just want to bring up, just to kind of reiterate, just for those that maybe don't know, everybody knows that the hay supplies are tight and that we're seeing record hay prices, but I still get lots of calls from producers saying, listen, do you know anybody that's got any of hay here? thinking that they're just looking at Oklahoma. But I pulled up on the Cow-Calf Corner this morning that you look at, we talk about 2021 hay supplies as compared to now. Most of those are down considerably. Texas down 22%, Missouri 14%, Nebraska 16%, Kansas 8%, Oklahoma 17%. Now, if you want to go to California, they're up by 4%. If you want to go to South Dakota, they're up 17%. Or if you want to go to Idaho, they're up 15%. So what I'm saying is there's not a lot of hay in the 350 to 400 or 500-mile radius around here in Oklahoma. So if you don't have some supplies, some wheat hay stocks already put in there, or have a plan put together, I'd urge you to try to get a plan together. Whether you need to sell off a few more cattle or sell some of the calves off of those, you can reduce the cow's maintenance and her useful, what she needs as far as to maintain herself, by 20% just by weaning that calf off there. And so her needs will go down quite a bit. So there's lots of options there, but please get a plan together, because there's not a lot of hay left out there to be gotten. So make a plan.
And we're 10 weeks maybe away from our first frost.
Normally you think end of October, first frost. So, you know, we could grow some standing forage or some of our grass if we have good weather, moisture, good temperatures. We could grow some standing forages, but if not, you think about we've just got about 10 weeks left, and then there's not a thing, many things are going to grow. So
guess what?
Get
a
plan
got.
Together.
Guess what I just got? You want to hear this?
What?
Elk City, Oklahoma. This Saturday, 7 a.m., to the sellout at the co-op.
Really? Peaches.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to read some more off here, but that's the closest one to Elk City. They got one in Altus coming up pretty quick. But August 27th, say at 7 a.m., till they sell out. So set your alarm for 3:30 and get up and go down to the co-op gym right there. It's Farmers Co-op right here in Elk City, 720 South Main. Awesome. And then I seen that one in Altus. Here we go. Altus is August 15th. That's too late already. Never mind. But anyway, hey, could you get me some?
I don't know if I'll be there in time for that. Anyway, they're really good.
Well, this hay deal's serious.
I mean, it is, because there's just not any hay to get.
That's my number one question, either personally or on our text line here at the studio, is where can I get some hay? Well, on Facebook, social media, not for last, I seen a friend of ours, of mine, down in Liz Reed. She just got in a truckload from South Dakota. And I thought, man, I'm just going to ask her, you know, what it cost and blah, blah, blah. And she didn't tell me. She said it was family that brought it down to them. I mean, so, mm-hmm. I mean, the trucking right now, I don't know, $6, $7 a mile. Mm-hmm. And I know the FSA's got a program out right now that they'll help with a certain percentage up to 1,000 miles, but it's more than 1,000 miles South Dakota.
Yes, and you need to have good records for the FSA, for them, about how much you've had in the past, what that cost you feel like, and how much more you need now. And so, you know, you have to have some records. You just can't walk in there and say, give me some money. So,
yeah, it's not that easy.
Yeah, it's not that easy.
And then hay costs this year's off the chart. I got an email here from Texas. I know it's your, but you guys all do the same good things. From the FS, or not from the FSA, but for the from Texas AgriLife.
Uh-huh.
And what did they say here on the hay? I remember going, oh, this is a Texas Direct Hay Report. And hay there, come up, is anywhere from hay cost is up from 40 to 75% more than what it was last year.
Yes,
and I believe it.
Yeah, it's high. Today's high to buy right now, and like I said, the wheat hay supplies are very, very tight. So I urge you to get a plan together. Think about what you're going to do. And I know I drove from Sarah to Cordell about 2 weeks ago, and just on 152, that 35 miles, I counted 12 different people who've already put hay out, and that was a week ago.
Yeah. Yes, I've only put 3 bales out so far down in Greer County, and this rain saved me.
Sure, to help out, yeah. But I mean, that's awfully early. Of course, everyone knows that's awfully early to be putting hay out, because it's a long time till February, March, whatever.
2018, July, I sold 3/4 of my herd. My son sold all his, because it doesn't work out with pencil and paper to start feeding you. No matter how good your cows are and how much you want to save them, and it took us a long time to build that herd up, it's foolish. You're throwing money away.
Yes, sir.
And that's just, that was my thoughts on my cows. Mm-hmm. Not, I'm not talking bad about anybody else. I'm just telling you, it doesn't financially work out.
Just get a plan together. Get, you think about what you're going to do to get through the winter, the fall, the winter, with the hay stocks you've got or what you can get, and determine whether you need to be selling a few more off, wean those calves off, or whatever you need to do. But get a plan together right now where you'll be prepared for what's coming up down the road.
I don't know if you was listening a couple times last week or and once the week before. I was talking about, I noticed, especially up north, and they give a little more detailed report on their cattle sales at the auction barn, and then we get that weekly one from the Texas and Oklahoma one. But that you could tell that the drought was really getting serious because a lot of people had already sold their call cows. Mm-hmm. And then they started pulling calves off early instead of leaving them on till here for a couple months. And but there was a lot of unweaned calves sold in the last 3 to 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it tells you what's going on.
Yeah, and it's all over. This is a widespread drought. It's just not in Oklahoma. It's a very wide drought, and certainly there's not a lot of hay to be had. So get a plan together.
Yeah, and I got the drought map up, and Oklahoma and Texas, Texas is 97%. There's some kind of drought going on, and that's a big state. Mm-hmm. And then Oklahoma was 100%, and this was last week, and I know it'll change with our rainfall over the weekend. 100%, some kind of drought was going on in Oklahoma. Utah, Nevada, California, New Mexico and Arizona was basically, there was 100% of some kind of drought going on. And believe it or not, Colorado wasn't quite as bad. They had some rainfall through there. This drought's still going on. This isn't ending the drought.
No. And that kind of gets into about these trees. I've had lots of calls. I know the trees are losing lots of leaves. It's not because they've got a disease. It's not because they've got an insect. It's because of environmental pressures. Those leaves, they're shucking off those ones that are smaller, that aren't going to produce enough photosynthesis, so the trees get them gone and trying to hang on to what they can. Just like when the cattle people have sold off what they don't need to try to hang on to what they can. That's what the trees are doing too.
Right.
So that's the reason the leaves are all falling right now. I know people think that it's, you know, they're October, dying. November, they're dying, but it's not. It's just environmental pressure. So.
And there might be one weak tree in there. That
there could be, but
for the most part.
I think this will help out a lot. You should see the less amount of tree or leaves falling from trees here on out because of that. We got a little bit of moisture there to kind of help them out.
What about gardens? Am I the only one?
No, it's been rough. It's been rough. The poor tomato people have just been crying. I mean, they just we got a few tomatoes early.
Is it the heat?
The heat and just intense heat that we had, and you know, the temperatures got so hot that they didn't set fruit, and then they kicked off a lot of the blooms. And they're just not going to do much until we get some cooler temperatures. And here lately, we've been cooling down in the low 70s there. It'll start setting more fruit. So those of you that are thinking that I'm going to put a fall garden in, just use this tomato crop that you still got, because it really hasn't produced enough, and you can use that as your fall garden there.
Yeah, and that's what I'm planning to do.
That's what we're planning to do also. So just stay with it. Hopefully this cooler temperatures and rainfall we got will make the garden kind of come back, and hopefully we'll end on a positive note.
And this natural rain, we got some natural water on it, and that does 10 times better.
Bunch is better.
It'll because I'm gonna, like I was telling you before the show, I'm gonna head down to south after the show and check out my late season field corn that we planted under the pivot, because mm-hmm. it was doing good, but I just imagine what this natural water is.
Oh, yeah, it'll be really good.
So anyway, I got one more thing to talk about before we got just about a minute left, but this is good news for you people that, like me, that complain about air support and fires. Well, anyway, the U.S. Forest Department Service signs a contract with the Black Hawk helicopter to fight wildfires in East Texas. And you think, big deal. Well, guess what? They're going to loan this out to surrounding states if needed. And they're going to be stationed out of the Angelina County Airport, ready to take off anytime to fight wildfires. Tim Beck of the U.S. Forest Service said that they are on call when needed. Contract with five states. Helicopters will serve all of East Texas and, if needed, nearby states. But here's the thing. They're not carrying one of those buckets underneath there. These guys actually have 6,500 pounds of water on board, and it also has a 780-pound bucket underneath it, external tank. But anyway, this is a good deal for everybody. So I want the state of Oklahoma to take notice.
Good deal.
Because we need it. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't bother me if there was one station out here in Amarillo or right here in Weatherford or somewhere, and we had it on by, anyway, because those Black Hawk helicopters will knock some fire down. So anyway, good news for that. Greg, thanks for joining me today, and I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to come over here.
Yes, sir. And it's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. See you guys tomorrow.